to them. In Jesus' name, change their lives because of what you say this morning. For that we'll be eternally grateful. Amen. All right. We're going to do a little, whoops. Got to move on, don't we? What happens when I don't get rid of last week's? I'll get there in a minute. We started last week a series about truth. And last week we talked about truth is the only freedom. Is true freedom. And I'm going to review for you right quick some of the main points that we went through. Okay? I encourage you to get last week's tape and many tapes to listen. Because there was an awful lot in last week's message. An awful lot. Too much. Too much. And so you need to get the tape, and if you have to take 2 or 3 days to listen to it, that's fine. But it's there. It's there for your use and your growth and your profit. And I probably need to listen to it myself a couple times, see what I missed. All right. We learned that truth, by the way, today's message title is going to be Truth as a Person. Okay? Truth as a Person. So keep that in mind as we go through last week's review. Truth searches for and reveals truth. Now, if you took notes last week, you got these, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Truth searches for and reveals truth. Truth draws people, all people, saints and sinners alike. One of the things that we miss, I think our politicians teach us that. Oh, by the way, I heard the best political commercial this week. It's outstanding. Bob Beaupre, I think is his name. He stood up there and he said, there's been a lot of negative things said in commercials lately. And he said, me being an old dairy farmer, I've learned the smell of them. Woo, I loved it. Finally, a politician with a little honesty, you know. And it was truth, by the way. I finally figured out what the remote control really is for. It's to turn off all commercials. That's what it's for. All right. Truth draws people, all people, saints and sinners. Truth teaches truth. Truth reveals law and life. Do you remember what Bill said this morning about God's laws? See, we as a church, we say that improperly. God doesn't have any laws. He has recommendations for life. He calls them statutes. He calls them commandments. But if they were commandments, everybody would have to do them. You got that? We call them wrong. They are not 10 commandments. They are 10 commandments for life and abundance and health. But nobody has to obey them. There's just hell to pay if you don't. Truth teaches the difference between law and life. Truth will be challenged by those that believe law and science is the only truth. The challenge by truth will require a decision and a stand on your part. Truth will bring accusations. You just need to learn to smell them. To hear truth, you must not listen to anyone but God. In other words, there is no truth except by God. You will hear truth when you seek truth. We learned a long time ago, especially women, that if they want a cop, they can get one. They can just weasel it out of you. They don't wait to get it because they're not listening for the truth. They're pumping for the truth. How do I look today? Don't tell them. How's this dress look? Keep your mouth shut. Just nod and grin. Say, it's great. Everything's fine. But that's not how you get the truth. Yeah. You're required to speak when God has spoken to you. You're required to share the truth and admit the truth. What does it mean to admit the truth? That means you must admit that sometime you were wrong. And this is right. Truth is salvation. It's the only salvation for you and for others. and it must be spoken. Truth must be spoken. Somewhere in our theology, we got this crazy idea that if we keep silent, we make peace. That's baloney. You didn't learn it from God. You didn't learn it from Jesus. You didn't learn it from the Bible. The only truth that you have ever found out has been spoken. And all truth comes from spoken words. Truth never stops. The more you get, the more you get. If it does not challenge, it is not truth. Comfort is not necessarily truth. Truth is protection and deliverance for self and others. And others. And others. Please don't think that everything's safe just because you're safe. Sometimes you speak the truth, even if it upsets someone. Because why? Because truth is a person. You are interjecting something in that life, someone in that life that can't be denied. Truth brings revelation. That we are always faced with a life and death decision. There's no such thing as a decision that's not life and death. Every decision you make is life and death. From what you drink, what you eat, what you wear. You don't believe that? Decide to wear shorts when it's 14 outside. See if it's not life and death. Drink that 4 cups of coffee in the morning. Just keep dying. Just keep dying. Keep having that artificial insemination of false life and not true life. Pop those pills. Truth always reveals a world beyond natural sight and understanding. Hey, that was me that stepped on your coffee, God. When it got quiet a while ago, that's okay. I don't like coffee. It's bad for you. It does give artificial life, so just be quiet and I'll get louder. Truth always reveals a world beyond natural sight and natural understanding. If everything in your life is based on what you see and what you know, you have a very, very shallow life. You're only on the surface. It's kind of like looking at the top of the ocean and thinking you've seen it all. Only those interested in truth will hear truth. Self-preservation or self-protection blocks and kills truth. How many of you have ever argued with somebody that just will not hear the truth? That you can hold up a bottle of water and say it's a bottle of water and they say no it's not. And you say yes it is and no it's not. Look at this. I don't care. It's not. It's here in my notes. It's Kool-Aid. So since I wrote it down, it's the way it is. Okay. The Bible says that the world will think you're a fool and you will know they are. Self-preservation. Wanting to be right will kill the truth. Truth is only what comes from God. Hearing Him, residing with Him, seeing Him, pleasing Him. Truth never comes from man's source. Why am I saying that? Truth never comes from a man's source. So you can turn down the man. Understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with you saying no to a man when you know it's not truth. If you believe that all truth is wrapped up in a man, you can't turn him down. You've got to do and listen to everything he says. Y'all understand that? If you know that truth only comes from God and never from a man's source, then you can receive truth from anything and anyone. And you can reject from anything and anyone. Just make sure. Just make sure. Truth causes belief or faith in truth over any other source. The more you look at the truth, you remember the little story I've told before about the counterfeit professional? He was professional at finding counterfeit money. And they said, how did you get so good? He said, by looking at the real thing. I can detect false because I looked at the real thing so much. You want to know what's a lie? Don't go looking for a lie. You'll be deceived also. You look for the truth and you'll smell a lie. Truth only gives peace, freedom, and true wealth. Nothing else can make you free. Nothing else can give you peace. Nothing else reveals true wealth. Truth reveals sin as slavery. Truth reveals disobedience as slavery. Truth never reveals sin as some guy in a leather motorcycle, a leather jacket and a motorcycle. A rebel without a cause. No. Truth will show you that sin is slavery. Truth forces the change of lineage and family, friends, interests, and actions. Truth is a different lifestyle, a different family, a different mindset than that of the world. That's why the Bible says they are to call you peculiar. Truth forces the choosing of sides and standing. Truth reveals sin's stupidity. Truth reveals sin's stupidity. I don't like that word. Sorry. Truth reveals sin's darkness. How many of you can explain the snipers? See, it's amazing to me how many talk shows, how many news analysts, how can they can all disdain it, but they can't explain it. Not one person on television, radio, anywhere has ever told you one reason why. The church is the only person that knows why. That's called sin. You can only explain some sins by calling it sin. Will the world mock you if you say the devil made them do that? Yes, you say it anyway. You say it anyway. There's some things that the only way you can explain. It's not bad mama, bad daddy, bad army, bad teachings, bad school teacher, molestation. It's none of those things. It's called sin. Truth comes against all reason. Truth becomes our reason, our understanding. It leads to supernatural life. Truth causes us to become enemies to law and human reason. There's many in this place right here this morning that are not enemies enough of human reason yet. How do I know that? Because you still reason. A good Christian never reasons anything. He didn't think anything out. He thinks on these things which gives the answers. You'll never come up with a decent answer with your mind. You'll come up with a good answer when you get in the Word. Then you'll have a real answer. Truth will never exalt you, but it will always point to and exalt God. Got that? Don't ever give a man credit for truth or wisdom. Give it to God. Whether it's yours or somebody else's. In all things, give thanks. Don't thank the man. In all things, give thanks. All right. Today, truth is a person, Jesus. How many of you know that truth is a person called Jesus? Truth is not, that's a bottle of water. That's not truth. It is a bottle of water, but that's not truth. That's just a fact. Okay? Truth takes you beyond facts. Come on. Here's where we need to go today. Truth takes you beyond facts. It gives you an experience with reality that leads you to truthful facts. Does that sound like garbly goop to y'all? Let's go on. Let's see what happens. I'm going to show you today how the truth is a person. And I've hounded and pounded and beat this in, and I'm not going to quit. You're created in God's likeness and image. You're supposed to have His mind. When you speak, you're supposed to speak with His heart and His mind. And that is what causes things to happen. Amen? Let's look at an example. The purpose of truth is to reveal weaknesses. Did you know when you find a problem, you instantly start looking for a solution? Very few people start at a solution and then find the problem. Right? So when truth is spoken, when Jesus speaks truth to you, it's usually dealing with a problem to give you a direction. It's to bring truth, strength, change, and or a sentence. Depends on how you handle the truth. What happens? Are you hearing me? Okay. Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus, the truth, speaks, it changes or deals from within. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Listen carefully. Then Jesus said to them, all of you. Can He speak to you this morning? Is it all right if He's just not talking to the disciples, but He speaks to all of you this morning, all of us? Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of Me. Now there's a truth you just woke up this morning hoping you'd hear, right? All of you will be made to stumble because of Me this night. Now remember, He didn't say all of you will be made to fall. He said all of you will be made to stumble. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Verse 32. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Boy, that's thinking pretty highly of yourself, isn't it? I will never be made to stumble. I'm just too good for that. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny Me 3 times. Peter said to Him, even if I have to die with You, I will not deny You. And so said all the disciples. Everybody in here would say that, right? Now, when I read this, I thought, now, why in the world did you tell Him that? Jesus, why did you tell Him that? Because, see, in church, we're not supposed to reveal those kind of things. It's just going to happen. We just keep our mouths shut and let it happen. Now, is this what really happened? Or did Jesus look at Peter and see a flaw and speak this thing on Peter? How many of you sang this morning, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried. Oh, y'all like that word. Tried and true. See, we don't like to sing that little word too loud. But Peter was in a training process. And Jesus saw a flaw that will send Peter to hell. And instead of saying, you will go to hell because you are going to deny Me, He was literally saying, to get you to a better and higher place, this is what's going to go down. This is what's going to happen. And Peter says, uh-uh. How many of you say uh-uh to Jesus pretty often? Okay. Join the crowd, right? Now listen, Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and Eve came to him saying, well, does that mean these women are no good, you can't listen to them? Uh-uh. That means in some shape, form, or fashion, there's going to be a temptress. Doesn't have to be gender-related. In some form or fashion, there's going to come a temptress. Something that you want to impress. You don't want to be belittled in their eyes. Are you hearing me? There's something going to come that you kind of admire in beauty or finances or something. And you feel like that if you answer truth, you're going to hit the floor. So you lie. Oh no, I wouldn't do that. No, neither would Peter. He said he wouldn't anyway. The servant girl came to him saying, you were also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all saying, I don't know what you're saying. Hey, listen. The first stage in a liar is, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... Come on. When somebody starts going, smell it. You smell it? Whew. 71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said, boy, they're ganging up on him, aren't they? And said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I want to remind you of something. I want to suggest to you that this was happening because a truth was spoken and a truth was interjected into the situation. Not because he prophetically saw it coming. Lord, prepare me. Maybe Peter sang that song too. Jesus said, okay, I will. I'm going to put you in a situation. The truth will put you in a situation that will test you, not to destroy you, but to show you where you need work. Okay? But again, he denied with an oath. I do not know the man. And a little later, why wasn't he a man of God? Why didn't he say, yeah, I know him. What's it to you? What are you going to do about it? Didn't he say, even if I die? Didn't he proclaim, so what if I die? I know him. He's my Lord. He's my rabbi. What was being revealed here? That Peter wasn't totally sold on Jesus Christ yet. Peter was still preserving Peter. At all costs, he was preserving Peter. Didn't Jesus say, unless you give up your life? Okay. 73, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. At least he had enough in him to sound a little like Jesus. How many of us in here could be accused just by some of the words we use? Now listen. Here is the real man fixing to come out. Not the one that speaks, but the one that acts. 74. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word, the truth of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and he wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Well, I'm going to tell you just as a blanket statement, the truth drove this man to his knees. He wept bitterly because he could not stand what he just saw in himself. He didn't weep because of the girls. He didn't weep because of the crowd. He didn't weep because of any particular his denial or his cursing. He wept because he found out he wasn't who he said he was. Peter found out he wasn't who he said he was. The most valuable thing that we can ever find out is what weakness or falseness lies in us. The best thing in the world. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to find out and work on. Now, John chapter 14. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. John chapter 14. Remember that when you read a story in the Gospels, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John many times. It's in Matthew, Mark, John. That's kind of the way it is. The same story was told. This is what Jesus told Peter, John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how we can know the way. Verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you don't get anything else today, you remember this. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and I am the life. What does that mean? That means there is no other way, truth or life. There isn't any other. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that attacks many cults and denominations. No one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Did Jesus ever deny the Father? Did Jesus ever go, or was he a man of man? Was he a man's man? He was not homosexual. He was not a sissy. He was not effeminate. And he was never afraid. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Can I tell you that Jesus' goal in Peter's life by speaking this prophecy into him was to get him to do greater works than Jesus himself? See, all of us want that, I want to do greater works. But none of us want to be crucified. Did you know that Peter was being crucified right there? By a couple little girls in a crowd? Believe me, he got his flesh tortured and hung. And he walked away and he wept bitterly. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I tricked you all this morning. I had you sing, Lord, prepare me. Did I not? To be tried and found true. Was Peter found to be not true? Can I suggest to you that he was found to be true? Because he went and he wept bitterly. He did not say, forget this Jesus thing. He did not run and hide. He went and he wept bitterly. And I promise you, from that point on, Peter was a better man than he'd ever been before. He looked at the situation and he said, what I just did was wrong. And wept bitterly means he repented. And he did not do it again. He did not do it again. And because of this train wreck, he just went through. He learned to be a better driver. He wasn't destroyed by the accident. He wasn't destroyed by the action. He was made a bigger and a better and a stronger man for the kingdom of God. Peter became a mighty man in the kingdom. Now, Peter's darkness was revealed to Peter. Did the girls of the crowd make any difference? Not at all. Not at all. They were pawns being used by God or truth. They wouldn't like it if you told them that, but that's what it was. They were just pawns in the trying and proving of Peter. Now, you've heard the saying, no pain, no gain? Welcome to the kingdom. If you think, if anybody in here still thinks, you know anybody that still thinks that you can kneel at an altar and be saved and everything's fine from then on, or you can be baptized and all pain goes away, somebody has taught you a lie and they're an enemy of the cross. They're an enemy of the cross because the cross proved to you that everything wasn't exactly smooth sailing. So what they're trying to tell you is that the cross doesn't matter and your salvation is free. Ask Peter if it was. How many of you have been that embarrassed before? Where you literally were married to somebody and then the first time somebody asked, you denied even knowing them. That was a test, guys. It was a real test. Did Peter fail? No, he passed. Please, in your, what a lot of people call trials and tribulations, I don't even like those words. In your testings, if you come out better than you were, you passed. You didn't fail. If Peter didn't fail, you don't fail. It's just part of the test. Do you think Peter might have been embarrassed enough of his own actions that he never did it again? Okay. I want to look at another example that didn't go quite as well. Matthew 26, verse 19. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Y'all understand that the Passover was a very holy time to Jesus. It's a sacred time because of the communion, the intimate fellowship. Not everybody was invited, just those few. Verse 19, so the disciples did as Jesus directed. Verse 20, when evening had come, He sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, He said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Now do you remember before He said, all of you will stumble? He didn't say, Peter, you will betray me. He said, all of you will stumble. Understand, you can stumble and not fall. You've got to understand that. I know you've stumbled a lot. It's the way you walk. We walk. One of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to Him, Lord, is it I? A righteous thing. He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The one that claims to be my best friend, that eats right out of my own plate here, will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of Him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. He didn't say, woe to the man that stumbles. He said, woe to the man that betrays me. Well, I thought Peter betrayed him. Not in Jesus' eyes. He stumbled. Because Peter got back up and proclaimed the glory of the Lord. See, we as finite people, we look at each step. Jesus is the infinite being, sees from the beginning to the end. He knows the difference between a stumble and a betrayal. You don't look at me, and I won't look at you as your last step being permanent. How about that? Now, somebody's name was mentioned to me that, in our verbiage, betrayed me royally this week. His name was mentioned. He didn't betray me this week. And the minute that name was mentioned, I want to crucify him again. And God said, oh, really? He didn't have to say any more. Truth doesn't have to say a lot. You know that? My spirit, checking my spirit. My granddad used to have to have a, saying, said, have you checked with him today? Have you checked with him today? See, fortunately for us, Jesus checks with us today. He doesn't let our last stumble be the last time He checks with us. He said, I. Verse 25, then Judas. By the way, the rest of 24 is, it would have not been better, would have been good for that man not to have even been born. 25, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. Now, when you're dealing with truth, you may not like the answers. Because you see, Judas already knew he was betraying him. You understand that? He already knew. But he said, is it I? The answer was, it is as you said. Wait a minute, I ask a question. No, you've already made the statement and the move of betrayal. It is as you said. Now this is not prophecy to make things happen. This was already ongoing. This is looking into the situation and speaking the truth. Why? Why? Why did Jesus want to heap coals of fire on this man's head? He'd already betrayed him. What's the matter with you, Jesus? You trying to rub it in? No. 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 Let me tell you what I want you to do. I want you to reject any thought that Judas had any good thought to help Jesus. There's some schools of theology that will tell you that we believe that Judas was had an innocent heart, and he had heard the prophecies of Jesus about the crucifixion, so he just felt like he was going to help Jesus get to the crucifixion. Oh, please. 30 pieces of silver is a lot of money. I've warned you before, if the devil can find your price, he'll pay it. If he can find your price, he'll pay it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Why? Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. Drink from it, all of you." Why would Jesus say, "All of you, drink that cup"? "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." When we take communion, do not I offer you by Scripture a warning about taking the blood and taking the body wrongly, that you bring death into yourself? Isn't that what the Scripture says? Well, let me tell you who was helping who. Judas wasn't helping Jesus to get to the crucifixion. Jesus was helping Judas to get to it. Because when he took of the blood, he took death into himself. I don't know this, but I would submit to you that it's possible that Judas wouldn't even have died if he hadn't have taken this. Because why? Because truth does strange things to people. What I want you to see this morning, or this afternoon, or wherever we are, truth you have no control of. It controls you. Truth, you do not control what happens. It controls what happens. He controls what happens. And when that truth is spoken into you or spoken into others, your family, you can let it loose because it's got a life of its own. It's going to cause what it was meant to cause. That's why we have to be so anxious to speak the truth of God. Anxious to speak it. Because it is life to those that are seeking life. And for the rest of you, it's death to those that are seeking death. Let it loose. Let it do the thing that it came to do. Don't be afraid. It's not you. You're not doing anything. The truth is doing it. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Why don't y'all stand up with me just for a minute? Say, "Thank you, Lord, for the truth." Hey, if you see any head nods off, turn on that vent. Let's suck in some cold air. Say, "Praise the Lord for the truth." Y'all be seated. We don't have that much further to go. If that gets cold, turn it off. I just want to stir the air. It seems kind of stale in here. Matthew 26, verse 45. We continue. "Then he came to his disciples and said to them..." Now you remember Jesus went out. He was fighting for his sanity. He was fighting for our salvation. He was fighting. He was praying. He came back and he said, "Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners.'" Now this is Jesus standing there. And he said, "What's wrong with y'all? Y'all just standing there. I'm being betrayed into the hands of sinners right now, and you don't act like you care." I'd like to leave that in your hearts this morning. There's many that are betraying right now, and you don't act like you care. You must stand up for what's right. You must stand up for Jesus. The truth, or you betray Him. When you're ashamed, that's betraying Jesus. When you don't speak truth and you know it, you're betraying Jesus. Behold, the hour's at hand. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Look over there. Here comes that betrayer right now. By the way, you guys wouldn't talk that way. If you knew there was a betrayer of Jesus, you wouldn't say, "Look, I see him coming." You'd say, "Oh, peace." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief of priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi, brother, friend." And he kissed him. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned. What happened to the Last Supper? How could a guy be so far from truth that Jesus looked at him and said, "You betray me," and not feel condemnation? It was later that he saw that he had been condemned, was remorseful. By the way, he was not repentant. He was remorseful. Many people are sorry they get caught. I'll guarantee you the snipers are sorry they got caught. But not one time have you heard them say, "I'm sorry I did it." And brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." Well, I thought that all you had to do is confess your sins. No. Who told you that? Who told you that all you had to do is confess your sins? Maybe that's what you wanted to hear. "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What's that to us? We made a deal. I gave you the 30 pieces. You took it. Don't cry on my shoulder." You see what I'm saying? He was saying, "I've sinned to men." Wasn't enough. You cannot confess your sins to a man and ever make it. What he did is he went the wrong one to ask for forgiveness. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You see what truth did? Nobody hung him. He hung himself. Now look, Peter went and wept bitterly and didn't do it anymore. Judas got caught and hung himself. They're not the same thing. Getting caught with your pants down is not the same thing as pulling them back up. Not the same thing. How do you know the difference? The truth will tell you the difference. Let me tell you something. It says, remember back over here, where it says, "If you ask anything in my name, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." I didn't hear Judas ask anything of Jesus. But I'll guarantee you, I wasn't there, but I'll bet you in Peter's prayer, Peter got it right with Jesus. Why? Because he had a heart that wanted to get it right. Judas had a heart that wanted to get it rich. And he didn't much care what he had to do to get it. He made all the wrong choices when given truth. Let me tell you when Judas' last chance was. And that's when Jesus said, "You have said it." That was his last chance. If he would have done what Peter did and fallen on his face, wept bitterly, it would have been over. But instead he went, huh? Huh? It's got to be somebody else's fault. It's got to be somebody. I know whose fault it was. It was those priests that offered me the 30 pieces of silver. You need to talk to them. It was those soldiers that have been twisting my arm to get me to do this. You need to talk to them. Peter didn't say it was that stupid rooster. I wasn't ready for him to crow yet. Those stupid girls, that loudmouth crowd, he didn't say all those. He said, oh me. Oh me. Judas said, oh them. I'm going to give you some principles to live by here. Number one, when there is no truth revealed, there's no chance to grow. Please, it's not too cool, is it? When there's no truth revealed, there's no chance to grow. People, would you quit running from conviction and run to it? It's like he mentioned about the law. It's not law. It's a suggestion for growth or life. When Jesus speaks and says, thus and such about that place in your life, don't run from it. Weep. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I won't do it again. Anything else, and you hang yourself. Anything else, and you hang yourself. One self-defense, and you've hung yourself. One rational reason why you did that, and you've hung yourself. A sin creates an irrational mind. Truth creates a rational mind. You don't argue with truth. Two, to betray or deny truth is to betray or deny Jesus. From a little fact like church is not all that important, to the lie of the theory of evolution, to ignore truth is to turn your back on Jesus. When Jesus spoke in the Bible, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, He didn't say unless you've got a good reason to stay away. He didn't say that blankety-blank teacher or prophet or priest or king or my business or money or errands or anything else. He didn't say that. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That was not a suggestion. That was one of those commandments that if you don't do, you're going to pay hell for. Now to me, that's a lot bigger than the theory of evolution. But if you can pass one, you're going to fall into the other one. You didn't evolve. You were created in God's likeness and image. Number three, to ignore truth is to ignore and reject life in abundance. It's literally making a choice to reject life in abundance. When you know to do good and you don't do it, remember? Five, to put desires or comfort above truth is to bring destruction to you and those that you love. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. Well, tut, tut, and tisk, tisk. Tell your boss that. Call him about Monday and tell him I didn't feel like going to work today. Just didn't feel like it's all that important. Six, truth is life and power. Truth is life and power. Truth is power. Truth is life and power. There is no power outside of truth. There is no power in an anointing. There's no power in a calling. There's no power in a gifting. There's only power in truth. Now y'all put that in your pipe, smoke it. Any questions? Arguments? Want to fight? There is no power in a calling. There is no power in a position. You can have triple anointing and you don't have any power. Not if you are not immersed in truth. You know what truth does? Truth takes power and puts it to use. Truth takes anointing and puts it to use. Truth takes a calling and puts it to use. Truth takes a gifting and puts it to use. 7. There is never, ever, ever, ever a reason to deceive. There's never, ever, ever, ever a reason to delay truth. Well, it's just not the right time. Who are you to decide the time? Truth decides the time. I feel great resistance here. And it don't make any difference. Eight, there's always a purpose in truth, even when not seen. Now just remember, truth is a person. And he doesn't always look like what you think he looks like. There's another way to say it. He's a person and he doesn't always look like what you think he should look like. And he's not always up to what you think he's up to. The best example that just screams in my mind is that time I sat up here and preached and y'all didn't hear a word I said. Y'all heard stop drinking Pepsi and stop drinking coffee. Y'all heard some of the weirdest things I never even said it. And a lot of y'all gave up things and you're telling me and I'm going, I didn't say it out loud. I didn't say that. I wonder what in the world you're doing. Well, now I know what it was. It was truth in a form that I did not present. Doing things that I wasn't understanding. We need to be comfortable with truth. And when truth looks at us and says, why did you do such and so? Don't get offended at the person that said it. Just back up. No, that's... their job is not to be truth. Their job is to deliver truth. My job is to weep for truth. Peter wept for truth. He got caught at doing something, yeah, but that weeping don't do anything except crying out for truth. He could have cried a bucket of tears and it wouldn't have done anything. Except he wanted truth. Is this true, God? Am I the failure that I think that I am? Did I just do what I thought I did? I am so sorry. God help me never to do that again. 9. Truth causes change. It causes choice. And truth determines our future. Do you remember in Corinthians, I think it's in Corinthians, where Paul said, I would prefer and all of you prophesy. You all have the ability to prophesy. You remember that? 99.9% of all prophecy is going to come from the Word of God. And it's not going to address you making $1 million tomorrow. It's going to address a situation that makes you able to receive $1 million tomorrow. It will prophecy, the Word of God, the truth, will attack a weakness that would cause you to fail if abundance fell on you. That's what was going on with Peter. Peter had a lot more to do, a lot stronger things to do than he'd ever done before. And the weakness had to be taken out of him. Was it costly? Yes. Was it worth it? Double yes. Don't you remember when the Holy Spirit through conviction touched you for the first time? You felt like you were the most rotten person on the face of the earth and you could never be forgiven? Don't you remember? Well, it was a lie. It was a lie. It was called a stumble in mind of Christ. Stumble, not a betrayal. All He wanted you to do is touch. All He wanted to do was touch that thing in you that needed to be changed. And He wanted you to respond correctly so we can go on with this relationship. 10. Truth will be presented to all. Please understand this as a fact. Truth. Truth will be presented to all. Well, I sure wish it would be presented to my neighbor. He's nuts. That's a good response, isn't it? That's a dirty, rotten sinner. Well, what about the last truth that was presented to you? Maybe that's the block that keeps you from presenting it to the neighbor. Truth will be presented to all. Do you know that's a promise from God? That's a promise from God that everybody will know the truth. They'll understand it. And if they turn it down, listen, long and short, if they turn the truth down, the last day of a calendar, maybe the calendar is already over, depends on how you look at it, it says every knee will bow and everyone will speak the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. Does that mean everybody goes to heaven? Absolutely not. Doesn't mean that at all. It means before you live the hell that you wanted, you're going to understand you were wrong, and that part of your hell is you'll be wrong the rest of your life. Wouldn't that be a thought? That I could spend eternity knowing that I was dead wrong. Truth will be presented to all. All will make a choice about truth. All will be rewarded according to that choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Listen to this. Another helper, that's the comforter, that He may abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. You want to know how to tell a real good, strong, hardcore in the Word Christian? They're brutally truthful. Not hurtfully truthful. But they tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it. Especially when you don't want to hear it. Come on. The Holy Spirit was given to each and every one of us. You know how much He bugs you sometimes. You know He tells you things you don't want to hear. You don't tell Him, catch me later. Why would you tell one that has the mind of Christ that? Ooh. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You notice we're not full of the world today? Wonder why that is. Well, they can't receive it. They'll think you're crazy. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Truth, Him, truth, Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. How do you know a Christian? Truth is in them. How do you know the world? There's no truth in them. Let Him be truth and the whole world be a liar. When's the last time you were bold enough to call the whole world a liar? Jesus did. I thought you were like Christ. Is this just too much? Man, I feel like I've stoned people. I look out there and everybody's going, I don't mean to do that. I'm really not trying to do that. I just want you to know that truth is a person. And He lives in you. And He wants to come out once in a while. And stop being timid with Him. He's pretty. The truth is pretty. It sets you free. Doesn't the Bible say truth will set you free? Let Him loose. Remember, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't be afraid of man. Don't resist man. You know what happens when one of those truthful characters comes around? We try to keep him out there a little farther. I don't want to talk to him. Man, every time I talk to him, it's like he turns on the lights or something. Something goes nuts. He just jumps on me every time. Are you sure it's the man? Are you sure it's him? Come on. What would happen if you could quit looking at man? Shut your eyes and begin to listen and understand that he that has an ear, let him hear. Extreme example. The jackass. The ass that spoke. Can I at least fit in that category? How about you? We can at least start there. What are we waiting for? If a donkey can speak and deliver somebody, why can't we? Why can't we at least elevate ourselves to a donkey status? I'm sure the donkey said, well, I don't know if I have enough education or enough anointing or enough calling. I just can't get in front of people and speak. You know what he did? He just opened his mouth and it rolled out. It was probably in donkey English. That's at least broken, don't you imagine? Anybody in here got truth in them? Can I tell you something? Truth and truth don't call each other a liar. Remember when I said when you get more, you get more? The more you get, the more you get? Why can't we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, understand that I'm not looking for something to be offended? I'm looking for something out of you to kill me. Come on. You man enough? Give it to me. Can you see old Peter? Can you imagine? Here's the thing that I wish the church could understand. After Peter got up, he felt better. He felt more encouraged to do what he was called to do than ever before. How about a little less caffeine and a little more bitter weeping? Instead of bitter drink, let's get some bitter weeping. Let's consume what is spoken to us with the anticipation that when I get through with this, I'm going to be prettier than ever. I'm going to be stronger than ever. I'm going to sound better. I'm going to think clearer. When I got off the stage a while ago and I went back there, I went and took some pressure off of my mind so I could think better. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's called using the restroom, but still, it's the pressure off. If I can at least do that, what should I do to clear the real mind? What if I live and I move and I have my being in truth? What if when I get up in the morning, I turn the TV on, I'm listening for truth, not the lies of the news? What if when I listen to the radio, I'm listening for truth? What if when I'm talking at lunch today, I'm listening for truth? Now that's good for me. What about you? Are you tough enough? Are you tough enough? Come on now, I'm asking you an honest question. Could you take what Peter took? You know what determines the difference between leaders and followers? How much you can take before you break. Judas just thought he was a leader. He just turned out to be following on the long end of a long rope. Peter was the most embarrassed. He was exalted. Understand this, please. I'm having a hard time getting this across. The truth attacked a weakness and exposed the weakness, and the weakness didn't take him down. It built him up. It built him up. Sure, I went through this. He could tell his other buddies now, the 10 that are left, or so. I don't know how many were left. He could tell them, I'm telling you, it's worth it, guys. It's worth it. Whenever he speaks to you, you fall on your face, and when you get up, it's going to be so much better. Don't look at the denial. Don't look at the rooster. Don't look at the girls. Don't look at the people. You're past that. You're above that. You did something they didn't do. You went to the truth and you found out. You know what happens when you go to truth, Jesus? With even a failure, He tells you how good you are. He talks to you about not what you did, but about the potential. You talk to him about what you did, and he'll talk to you about your potential. He will never bring it up again. Remember, he promises, I'll cast as far as east is from the west. He's not there to remind you of a denial. You know what? Peter didn't hurt Jesus. Peter hurt Peter. Jesus never felt not one pain from that. He called it a stumble. I'll guarantee you, when Jesus went to the Father, He said, keep your eye on Peter. He's something. You see what he went through? And he did that for me. Are you listening? If Jesus, the truth, caused the stumble and you recover, then it was all for him. And he's not mad. He's appreciative. Can you imagine Jesus giving thanks for you recovering from a stumble? Never referring to the stumble. But to those, to that one, or those many that knew Jesus and refused to repent, better that he had never been born. What does that mean? I will remind you what it means. It means that when Judas was out there still swinging on that rope, and the buzzards were eating his eyes, it wasn't over. It had just begun. For eternity, Judas has been marked the betrayer of the only truth. And in hell, everybody knows he's a betrayer, walked with the truth, and betrayed the truth. Guys, life doesn't end with death. It only begins. It begins when Peter died to himself because of the stumble. His life, he was born again. And it also begins forever when you deny Christ. Understand? Please, y'all stand with me. If anybody isn't here, isn't where they ought to be with God, that was a great salvation message. And you ought to take advantage of it. If you just need to get some stumbles repaired, it's a good time to do it. Right now, it's a good time to do it. If you just need to praise God for Christ Jesus, who constantly forgives for stumbles, now's a good time. Now's a good time. Tell him what you need to tell him now. Tell him what you need to tell him now. Tell him, go away and never bother me again. As Judas would, talk to him as Peter did, first on your face and then with joy and thanksgiving. Or just give him thanks now for how he's treated you. Repent from how you've treated him. Promise to do it better. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that it's that simple. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody need some special prayer? If you do, you can come forward and we'll pray with you. Please understand that if that does not mean if you're a dirty, rotten sinner, come forward. Means exactly what I said. If you need somebody to pray with you about something, we'll be happy to do that. My desire, can I just be honest with you? I never thought about this until now. My desire is Jesus' desire. That all make it to heaven. None should perish. That's my desire. My knowledge according to the truth is that your salvation is something to be treasured, valued, and protected. Work on it hard. All hearts clear? Good. Then let's seal this truth. Father, we love you this morning. I thank you that here on a Wednesday night, a few Wednesday nights ago, you gave me that revelation about why you did to Peter what was done. And I will join with Peter right now, thanking you, Lord, that it was done. Just as you've done with Peter and me and many others. I thank you, Lord, that you find the weakness, Spirit of the living God, that you visit and you whisper and you stick closer than a brother and you point out, this needs to be changed and that needs to be changed. And God, I thank you that it's for our perfection, not for yours. That it's for our protection and not for yours. That it's out of the love of your heart we receive correction, Lord. We love you, Lord. I ask you to take what was spoken by the Holy Spirit. Plant it deep in each and every heart, Lord. So that it causes forever change. Forever change. That it draws them closer to you and not to people. Let this word draw them closer to you, Lord. Draw me closer to you. I thank you in advance for the words that you'll speak to me dealing with stumbling. I thank you for the words that you'll speak to them dealing with stumbling. More than that, I thank you by prophecy, by speaking this word, that none will betray. And all, in the sound of this voice, will fall and weep bitterly and raise back up victorious, stronger than ever before. Let that be the harvest of this message. And for that we give you praise and honor and glory forever. And everybody that agrees says amen. Praise the Lord. All this...